This prophetic word came forth just before I was about to preach. The speaker did not know the content of my message. Listen carefully.
Put aside the things that are not of me, saith God, but look unto me, that you might hear my voice. Set aside those weights. Set aside those sins. Set aside those troubles. And set aside those cares. For I would speak to my children in these last days concerning the last day. For thus saith the Lord, beware, understand the work of your enemy, saith the Lord. For the enemy comes to deceive. The enemy comes to destroy. And the enemy comes to kill. I say unto you again, beware of that which is not of me, saith the Lord. For in these last days, that which you cling to will become an idol of worship. That which you cling to above me is that which you will worship. For I say unto you, even as I have done and am doing a work, the enemy, your enemy, is also doing a strange work. So be not deceived. I have warned you and prepared you.
Wow. Try to remember that prophecy as you listen to the message I preached right after it was spoken.
A little horn with eyes like a man. Normally I do not get into the book of Daniel, but this morning I felt led of the Spirit of the Lord to do just that. I prefer the book of Revelations and the revelations of the gospel that I call Matthew chapter 24, especially the words in red, which denote that Jesus is speaking. Now, I'm not saying that all the words in the Bible printed in black aren't important, because they are. No. I'm just saying that the words in red spoken by Jesus are even more important, because that's our Lord. That is the one that spoke everything into being. Hallelujah. If you get my point, and I hope you do. Okay? Well, let's go on. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So Daniel chapter 7 verse 8 begins with, I considered the horns. The word horns in the Bible can represent three distinct things. Number one, horn could mean a musical instrument. I'm sure we all know that, but that really does not apply here in chapter 7 and verse 8. Number two, horn could mean an appendage of an animal. But though here in Daniel 7:8, it could be representative of what's going on here, it's not truly the point that's being made. So number three, horn could have a symbolic meaning, such as a vision. And that is what's happening here in Daniel 7:8. But before I continue, let me give you a little background, and we'll back up a bit. Daniel wrote in verse 2, I saw a vision. Then in verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. Diverse means different. Four beasts that were different or not the same as each other. Daniel then goes on to describe the four beasts and how they differ from each other. There's been much speculation about these four beasts, and many books have been written about those beasts. But books that are written by men, now hear me, must very obviously contain the opinions of men. Thank God that the book that was written by men that contains the opinion of God was spiritually written, was written by the Holy Ghost through the hand of men. Hallelujah. So let's get that straight right now. Amen. But let me say again, I prefer the opinions written in red that are the facts coming directly from Jesus himself. Now, some might say that it's still by the hand of man, but let me tell you, it's by the Spirit of the Lord through the hand of man, and that's the difference between that and the books that you buy in a bookstore. But here, it's very interesting that the words in black of Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, say at the end of that verse concerning the fourth beast, And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Something was very different about this fourth beast, because Daniel specifically brings it to our attention. And again, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, it says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. That's very important, I think. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and that's even more important, and a mouth speaking great things, and that's also very important. If you remember, we began with Daniel considering the horns as being a spiritual vision. And that is something that is going to teach us something today, that we might understand what's happening in the world today. This is very important because the Bible has it already written for us. We don't have to write more books about it. It's already there. But the thing is, maybe some of these books were written with the right heart, and I believe that a lot of them were. But a lot of them were written with a heart that desired to make money off the Word of God, and that's where everything has gone wrong. This should tell us that Daniel, when the horns are a spiritual vision, it should tell us that Daniel is receiving something from the God that speaks the words in red. Hallelujah. Amen? The word consider here means to bring to pass, or the principal meaning is knowing, to be knowing, to understand, to know what's going on, to be in the know, so to speak, as it's said today. Hallelujah. The root meaning of the word is words that are to be, or words that are prophetic in nature. Glory to God. Jesus Christ Himself was the true prophetic in real life form. Amen. So Daniel then tells us the power of the little horn that comes up or rises out of the other horns, that this power of the little horn is a very important point for us to grasp. So powerful, in fact, that it causes three of the first horns. Amen, that's what it said there. It causes three of the first horns, Daniel writes, to be pulled out, roots and all. Now that's pretty powerful. Now, I don't wish to speculate, so I want to continue with my intended message based on the few last words found here in Daniel 7:8. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man. I want to stress that. Eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. A mouth that speaks great things. This horn has eyes like a man and a mouth that speaks, but it not only speaks, but it announces great things that are happening. It will be a boastful mouth, a mouth that will cause the world to gaze upon the horn with amazement on their faces. I can't do it like the girls will do at the rock concert where they swoon over this person, but that's basically, if you can picture something like that from your younger days when you were into music as a child and probably in a wrong way, how the girls would swoon over these singers. Well, this is the kind of persona that this little horn is going to have. It'll cause the world to be mesmerized. Now, you know that word mesmerized. It's a thing that comes from an occult type of thing, a witchcraft type of thing, and to be controlled by the power of this horn. But you and I, my Christian friends, those of us who are truly committed to loving and serving Jesus Christ, we will know that it's the false power that this little horn has. It's not the true power, because we as Christians know where the true power comes from. And by the way, this horn would have no power at all if the true power didn't allow it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because the true power, Jesus Christ, has a plan. God has a plan. And it's going to be completed, and He's going to allow whatever is necessary to complete that plan. So little children of God, don't fear. Don't tremble. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Have you noticed I have not tried to put a name to the little horn like many of the books do? I'm not saying that that's not all right, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to go on with what I have to say because I want to stir you. I want to get you thinking about the things that are happening and about the Bible speaking to the things that are happening so that you will understand the last times and start to see things for yourselves. This is very important. And you need to know. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, it's going to be much harder for you. You need to pray and say, Lord, give me your Spirit. May I be empowered by your Spirit, by the knowledge of your Spirit. For you said you would give us the Comforter that would teach us all things. Have the Comforter teach me all things, Lord. And be open to tongues in the middle of that, okay? Now, I know I just cut some of you off, but then you just cut yourself off. You need to be open to the prayer language. You need to be open to the Spirit of God. You need to be open to the understanding of God. Or you're going to sit there and drawn into the wide way. Let me continue before I finish my sermon, before I get started here. But we do have representations of the power of that little horn active in today's world. We are about to see the manifestation of that power of the little horn, if we're not seeing it already. Do you remember something called Custer's Last Stand, or his last battle with the Indians at the Battle of the Little Bighorn? There's something strikingly representative about that, as I felt that in my spirit, and I heard that in my spirit, and as I'm writing a message on the little horn of the Bible, because that little horn is going to bring us to a battle. Just like Custer's ways brought him to a battle, and the Indians' ways brought them to a battle. It's going on in the world again. History is sort of repeating itself. And it is really strikingly representative of what I'm speaking about this morning, but yet has no bearing on it. But I just had to mention it. See, we're fast approaching that last battle between good and evil called the Battle of what? Armageddon! That's right. In today's world, we're seeing the prophetic come to pass daily, as events are now happening that the Bible says precede that final battle. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. I've got to get back. I've been convicted. I've got to go back and really study Revelation again. I haven't done it in a long time. And I had a good grasp on Revelation, but now I need to get back and grasp onto it again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, this is not a rapture sermon, verse 2, that ye not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by the letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. That was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. First, let me emphasize that the day of the Lord is truly at hand, and I believe will fully soon be at hand. Second, I believe we are already in the great falling away, and not only that, but the great falling away is almost at an end, if not at an end already. Third, I believe the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is about to come on the scene very soon. Very, very soon. Fourth, the son of perdition will exhibit power that will mesmerize the world and cause all to worship him as, I'm not going to say God, I want to say a God, because he's not God. They will think he's God. He will be a God to them. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake, or speaks in our English today, as a dragon. That's the King James English, by the way. And get you a good King James Bible. It's the best you can get. And all the rest of these things have changed the Bible so much, sometimes you can't even understand what's Bible and what's man. verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 13, Revelation 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14, and he deceiveth or mesmerizes them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And here is the result of the power given for a time. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, this is Revelation 13, verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18, Revelation 13, here is wisdom. Now there must be something important going on here for the writer to say, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The mark is representative of a man. Think about that. I've been talking about a man. The title of this message is a little horn with eyes like a man. Speaks as a man would speak. Deceives as a man would deceive. Mesmerizes as a demon would mesmerize. There's a combination of man and demon here that we're looking at. In the end days, there will be false power given in both action and in words. A power that will mesmerize and deceive all who have chosen not to follow the real truth, that Jesus Christ is their only way of salvation. They will be falsely brainwashed into believing the wide way is the way to their salvation. I mentioned this once before, but now let's take a look at the scripture that talks about that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction, and many, many, many there be which go in thereat. Now I repeated that many three times because that's what the wide gate is designed for. The scripture tells us that it's wide because it's got to get a lot of people through it. And another reason is that it'll make it easier for them to find it because it's wide and easy to find. So there's a deception, a mesmerization, a strong delusion, whatever you want to call it, Thessalonian strong delusion, that's going on in the land today that is absolutely amazing. Even though I know what the Bible speaks about it, I stand in awe over the ability of a holy God to do that thing that He's doing. Hallelujah. Those are they. In that wide gate, they go in that wide gate, as I said before, would follow the false power that would lead them into that wide way. That's what's going to happen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, to finish that part off. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Remember, the first was wide. This one's not wide, but it's a straight thing. Now, this is important because when you know Jesus Christ, you go straight to the hard-to-find gate. You go straight to the narrow gate that's not easy to see. You won't have to look around for it like the ones in the wide gate will. You'll know right where to go. You'll have your spiritual GPS on, and it'll take you right to the place that you want to go. For all those out there that understand those things, you will just head right for the right spot. Amen. How many of you get confused on the road? And many of you probably bought these GPS things and they tell you exactly which way to turn, where to go. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Hallelujah. He's God's GPS. Hallelujah. God's power and strength, hallelujah. God's GPS, glory to God. And He'll lead you on the right way, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's power and strength. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Remember that other gate? That leadeth unto death.
Yeah.
It's life in death. That is very, very important. And few there be that find it. So there's going to come a time when you will die, but there is a life after death, and the choice that you make now will put you either in the good life after death or in the bad life after death. So what are you now, good or bad? Take your pick. Make your choice, because it's going to be over when that time comes and you find yourself living in hell. Okay, praise the name of the Lord. I pray you'll find yourself living in heaven. I want to tell you something. It's going to deceive a lot of people into taking that wide way that leads to destruction and ultimately into hell. Will you be one of the few who find the good way, my friends, the narrow way, the straight gate, or will the power of the little horn affect your judgment? Martin Luther was a Catholic scholar that just came to realize some facts about the Bible that were never taught before Martin Luther. And he brought to light many things that were wrong with religion in his day. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther even thought the Pope was the Antichrist, or at the very least, the false prophet. But I want to tell you something. It's obvious that the Pope in Martin Luther's day wasn't either one of those two things. He may have represented those two things, but we haven't seen that yet. So obviously that particular Pope wasn't it. I'm not saying a future one couldn't be it, could possibly be it. But that Pope that he was talking about could have been a representation of how things were going to happen when the Antichrist came upon the scene, or the false prophet. What really matters? See, it doesn't really matter who men call the false prophet, what they name him, or who they say is the Antichrist. That's not what matters. What really matters is what I have been teaching all through this message, that there is a power. It's not the name. The Bible doesn't mention a name. It's called a little horn. It doesn't say a big horn, because a big horn would give you the idea that it was going to gouge you and do a lot of damage. A little horn doesn't seem to be so scary, does it? Well, I want to tell you something. You need to be afraid for the loss of your soul through this whole deception thing, this whole mesmerization thing. See, a little horn, if you will rise up putting other horns down. It will look, and it will speak, and it will act like a man. That's the important part. Not what man, but what it'll do. So you will understand when that particular one man, because the Bible says in the last days, there are a lot of antichrists. There's only going to be one antichrist, however, the one that comes upon the scene that will do battle with Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So I want to tell you something. That horn or that person will act like a god, but it will deceive like a man. See, there's something spiritual here. There's something demonic and something fleshly that have come together to make the world believe what is happening is truly what is going to save them when it's false, and it's going to send them straight to hell. Now, I want to tell you something. Today is even worse than 9-1-1. Well, how is that, Brother Johnson? I mean, so many people died. Thousands died in 9-1-1. Well, I want to tell you something. That was a shock. It was an eye-opener. But it isn't the end. There's more to come.
Right.
We're seeing food, fuel, flying, driving, all becoming fears in the mind of men. Amen? People are walking away from their homes because they cannot pay their mortgages. You're hearing it all the time in the news. People are taking apartments that are closer to work so they can save on the price of gas, which has gone so high. Many are faced with unthinkable choices. One of those choices might be eat or drive. There are so many others. We're looking at having to live here in the United States of America as never before that we have seen in this country. Things are happening and ways of living are changing. You might think it was bad in the Depression, but you haven't seen anything yet. They're even now saying that we're truly in a recession, they're calling it. I don't think so. I think we're closer to a depression, but in any event, hallelujah. Will there soon be rationing of food, gas, all those kind of things, staples, like there was in World War II? It could happen. I believe it will happen. I believe it's happening right now. And you're going to see, you're going to see lines. We're already seeing lines forming. Not in this country yet, but get ready. First it happens over there. I told you many times, first it happens over there, then it comes over here. And when it gets over here, it usually starts first in Canada or California. Those are the two places that the things that happen in the poorer countries of the world come across into the continent of North America. And they happen first in Canada or California. We're looking at choices that we have to make. In foreign countries, as I said, they're already battling for food. And we will see that in the USA, I believe, very soon. Americans, it's time for you to make choices. And you better make some good ones. And it's also time for you to change your lifestyles. There are some choices, lifestyle choices, that I think we need to think about right now. Three of them. Moral, spiritual, and chemical. You might say, what's chemical got to do with it? I'll get to that. Moral, spiritual, and chemical. First is moral. Stop your sinning and do it now. Second is spiritual. Live like Jesus might return any minute. That'll help you. Third is the chemical. Be extremely cautious what you put into your body. Through your food, through your drink, etc., etc., etc. Through creams that you put on your body. Even toothpaste. Toothpaste a while back was contaminated with ethylene glycol from China. So you need to be careful about what you put into your body. And most important of all, as I close, if you're not saved, get saved. Before it's too late and you find yourself in that place that wide gate leads to called hell. If you do not know how to get saved, write the address heard at the end of our sermon messages and our radio programs. The last day signs, the end times are upon the earth. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Maranatha, my friends.
Please send your love gifts and letters of support to Signs, spelled S-I-G-N-S, P.O. Box 122, Lyle, spelled L-I-S-L-E, New York, abbreviated N-Y, 13797, USA. And may God bless you real good for it.